from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. And it's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I'll give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again round noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, and each received the usual daily wage, so when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the burden of the day and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I'm not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I'm generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I have a friend, you know, who has a hobby vineyard. He's actually a lawyer, but he hates the noise of the office and all the people ringing up and coming in. So he goes off to work very early. He gets there by 4 a.m. and he leaves again in the very early afternoon so he can go home and work on his patch of land and work with his dogs. So, and he dodges the rush hour traffic on the motorway at the same time. So each year at harvest time, he has an agreement with the youth and talent of the parish. They come and harvest his grapes, and he makes a very handsome donation to their youth club finances, which is very handy when there are things like World Youth Days, etc. Now, I've gone down with the youth a couple of times, and it really is quite beautiful down there in the early morning. His bit of land is at the end of a creek, just as it's called Slippery Creek. It's a bit of a river. Where it joins with another river coming the other direction, and they together swell out and get into the estuary. So it's a bit tidal. The water is low-lying, quite broad, and often in the early morning when we would get there, there'd be a fog lying on the water, and the sun would be forming rainbows through the water. It was very beautiful, really. And the youth and talent would be there. We'd start work at 7, work for 3 hours flat out, and then the youth would all go off to their day's sport for the Saturday. And us oldies would go up to the sheds and have a little drink of the fermentation process from the grapes we'd picked a fortnight earlier. So it was really quite a lovely experience. But 3 hours picking grapes was good, but quite tiring. And no wonder those who had been working since the crack of dawn all day were crotchety when their pay was the same as those who had arrived at the last minute and had done only 1 hour of grape picking. There's no indication in the story, actually, that they were pricking grapes. They could have been weeding or pruning or any other required work. So these workers were feeling quite offended, and Jesus was reasonably firm with them. Their sense of entitlement was jarred badly. And I wonder perhaps if the story was included by Matthew in his gospel because there was also a sense of difference among the Christians at the time Matthew was writing. There were the Christians who, for generations and centuries, had belonged to families who were Jewish and then followed Jesus. They were very familiar with the Old Testament and rituals of the day. And now the gates were opened to these Gentile Christians who had quite a different mindset. And was there a little bit of jealousy or envy among these two? And did that sense of entitlement lead to the question that Peter had spoken to Jesus about at the end of chapter 19, just before our passage started? Peter has said to Jesus, "We've left everything and follow you. What are we to have then?" And Jesus said, "I tell you solemnly, when all is made new and the Son of Man sits on the throne of glory," etc., etc., "you also will inherit eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." And that's the same sentence that this passage we have just read ends with. Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The two parts go together quite nicely. This thought about the Gentile Jews, the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians is an idea that's presented by Barbara Reed in her very good book called Parables for Preachers. If you can get hold of it sometime, it would be a good idea. Because the question of Peter and the troubled attitude of the laborers in the vineyard highlight the green-eyed monster that is deep-seated in all human beings, the one of envy and jealousy. Even though as adults we can cover it over quite nicely, disguise it and camouflage it in various ways, it's still deep-seated. In the development of children, we can see it developing at an early stage as they vigorously defend and jealously defend their toys or their space or their parent. Or they're envious of what the other sibling has and keep making inroads on trying to snatch it from them. I spent years trying to chip in and say the third decade of the rosary, which was my older sister's. I was the fourth decade, and I spent years trying to say the third decade. For what purpose, I'm not very sure. So these things, jealousy and envy, are deep in our being, but they're also, if unchecked, they are quite corrosive of our personality or the society in which we live. Possibly they stem from insecurity or some other problem. Not being a psychoanalyst, I don't rightly know. But Henri Nouwen, in a book he brought out about 15 years ago or so, talks about a time he met Mother Teresa, and he had about 10 minutes with her, and he laid out all his problems and difficulties, which were extremely complicated. And when he had run out of explanations, Mother Teresa looked at him quietly and said, "Well, if you just spend 1 hour a day adoring your Lord Jesus and do nothing which you know is wrong, then everything will work out okay." which is possibly what will happen with us too when we are dealing with our own envy or jealousy or greed, or being confronted by someone else's that causes us great difficulty. Now, the end of this passage which I read has some very good questions that could be worth our while pondering. It's not often we get lots of questions like this in the New Testament. The questions go, did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? You know, often we're quite content with something until we see someone getting a better deal. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Our sense of entitlement is affronted if someone else gets a chance or an opportunity or receives graciousness that we ourselves lack. Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? So often we forget the bounteous goodness we've received each day in the form of life itself, the fresh air, the beauty around us, the wonderful people who come our way, the opportunity to work and be involved. Then the next question is, are you envious because I'm generous? In the Greek, I think the words are a bit more simple. It goes, are you bad because I'm good? And often it's the goodness of others that irks us. Have you ever known yourself to become critical of others solely because they're very good? We then look for the bad, or the bad or the less good part is highlighted because so much else is good. So, as you ponder this parable, perhaps you could consider what you would question Jesus about, something you think is unfair in your life, and what would be the parable that Jesus would tell you in reply?